Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith, and thank you for joining me again for this episode. My name is William Hemsworth. My guest today is David Skubin. He's a lifelong Catholic born and raised in Alberta, Canada, husband to one, father to four, and he currently resides in the Edmonton area. He's the host of a great podcast called the Catholic Canuck Podcast, with the mission to engage Catholics and all people of goodwill to be in the world, but not of the world. David, how are you doing today?
Well, it's great to be with you, William. Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. Thanks for coming on. It's just great, great talking with you again. I really enjoyed our conversation last time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And invite your listeners and your viewers to double back and listen to our chat as well, William. We had a good one just a few weeks ago. So absolutely go check out the podcast that I've got. And William was a guest, and it was a great chat that we had about your conversion, reversion, and what you're doing now too. So
yeah. So let's talk about you for a minute. I wanted to get you on to, sometimes in the podcasting world, we like to reciprocate because, we meet great people this way.
It's true.
So, David, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and your faith background and like what led you, how the faith has helped you in your life so far?
Yeah, thanks, William. No, it's been an amazing journey. It's been one that I guess started when I was born. And actually shortly before I was born, I'll tell you a little bit about that as well. But September 6, 1981 is the day I was baptized as a 2.5 week year old or year old, 2.5 week old. And I just remember the pictures that my mom and dad showed me, and I was crying. Like it was definitely, I came in with a bang into the church. There's no question about that. So my mom and dad were lifelong Catholics as well. I have a Slavic background, William. So my dad was actually born and raised in Czechoslovakia, and the same with my grandparents on both sides of my family. Mm-hmm. And he immigrated into Canada in the 1940s, just after the war, World War II. And my grandparents, they wanted to escape socialist, communist oppression, basically. It was really hard to be a Catholic in the Slavic countries, as many people know at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ironic, actually, the way the world's going right now, how things are going in North America, here in Canada, down in the United States, that some of these problems just don't go away. But my mom and dad were, the gift of faith is just so incredible. And it was something that my grandparents possessed and had and passed along to my parents, and then they passed along to my siblings and I. My siblings are quite a bit older than me. I've got four older sisters and two older brothers. So when my mom actually, and my dad conceived of me, my mom was actually 44 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the first thing, and they told me the story when I was quite young, that the doctor recommended that they have an abortion because my mom was already in her mid 40s. And obviously, sometimes they say they chose life. Well, they didn't. It was beyond that. It was, they never even thought of it. They were faithful Catholics, faithful lovers of our Lord Jesus. And they had me, and it was a blessing. Mm-hmm. And fast forward almost 40 years later, we had our fourth child. We found out, this is in 2019, that our little baby had an extra chromosome. She was going to have Down syndrome. the first thing that the doctors told my wife and I is, would you consider an abortion? And obviously that was not even, it was beyond a choice test. It was not even, you know, I was really appalled when I heard that. But obviously we chose life, and our little Emily is with us now, and she's a beautiful, beautiful treasure to us, and a great gift to all of our family. So I guess the, you know, the faith has been a part of my, even before I was born, right? Like it's, I always like to tell people that it was, you know, this journey started while I was still in the womb, and God's love for me and the great gift of having parents that are in love with the Lord and have that faith. It was evident before I even came onto the scene here. So yeah, it's been a great journey. I love it. I love being a Catholic. I tell people that, you know, like there's so many bad news stories, right, William? We see them all the time in the news, and it just seems so negative all the time. But when you're a follower of Jesus, you know, it's always a good news story. It really is. Good news day and a good news story.
Amen. That's powerful. Wow. Well, amen. Thank God for that. That's great. Now, your faith up to now, have you always been a strong Catholic? Did you stray earlier on in your life? What was that like?
Yeah, you know, it was, it's interesting you say that, William. I think that I've never strayed from going to Mass. You know, Mom and Dad were outstanding in teaching us the faith. And I grew up in the Baltimore Catechism, honestly. I mean, back in the 80s, it was kind of, I would say it was going away, unfortunately. There wasn't a lot of that type of catechesis around, but my mom and dad had those books. And that's what we read every day. And I look back and I still have a copy for our kids too. It's you know, the illustrations are so nice for the kids to look at. It does paint a picture, just like going into a beautiful basilica or cathedral that we see around the world. They're such gifts to our church, you know, to visually see art, pictures, it really means something, right? And so that was something that was always available to me as a youth. And when my parents passed along to me, I think all of us, you know, even us cradle Catholics, you know, that we do occasionally kind of slip into a life of sin or do some things that we probably regret. But, you know, the great thing that I've found, William, is that confession and living the sacramental life has been such a big part of what I do. And I look throughout my life, and I know that, you know, not everybody has positive experiences with members of the church, members of the clergy, but I've been blessed because, you know, every priest that I've met throughout my life has been so good. And I still remember my very first priest, that he was our parish priest for the first 15 years of my life. And I always remember before Mass, it really instilled in me how important confession was. He'd always be at the back of the church waiting for people to come and go into the confession booth. He was there, you know, for 30 minutes, 45 minutes before Mass. And a lot of times nobody ever went, but he was there. And so whenever I needed to go, I could go. And he was there, and we went in, and, you know, 5-10 minutes, and you're back to living that life living in a state of grace with the Lord again. I'd say kind of, I don't know if there was a big metanoia moment, but I still remember this conference I was at, William, when I was 16. We were really blessed in Alberta. The diocese, or the Archdiocese of Edmonton that I live in, there was a, just outside the Archdiocese, but very close, it was in a town called Radway. There was a little Bible school there, a Catholic Bible school. It was called John Paul II Bible School. My brother attended, a cousin, a lot of my friends attended. They always had, the students would do conferences and youth retreats and events and stuff throughout the year. They do a couple of them. And there was one in particular I went to when I was probably about 16. And I remember very, you know, I'd go, not because it was like something I really, really wanted to go to, but you know, it was, I still enjoyed going. You didn't have to drag me there. I enjoyed meeting new people and watching their skits and things like that. But one of the guys that was there, he got up and he did just an outstanding talk on the Eucharist. And I'd always believed that Jesus was body, blood, soul, and divinity, like, because that's what I was taught. So I was like, yeah, I believe that. You know, no one ever challenged me to say opposite or something else, right? But he got up and he went to John 6, and he spent 15 minutes talking about John 6, John chapter 6 in the Gospels. And if people don't know what that is, you know, if we're coming up as we're recording this, William, we're in the Lenten season and Holy Thursday's coming up and the institution of the Eucharist. But, you know, for us to really understand what's going on, actually, at the Last Supper, we really have to go to John 6 and see what Jesus was talking about there, right?
Absolutely.
And he got up there and he just gave this powerful talk for 15 minutes. And there was about 80 high school kids there. And I was sitting there. I was in awe. Like, my eyes were wide open. Like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, I think the kids were listening, but that really touched my heart, because, and especially when he said, you know, it meant so much to Jesus, this teaching, that he let people walk away. And I remember going back home that night and I looked and he's like, yeah, he's right. I looked in the Bible and that's exactly what happened. This is, I think that's the only teaching that Jesus just allowed people to walk away from. It meant that much to him. And yeah, so I was 16 years old. And from really that moment, that was a real profound kind of, even though I was in the game already, yeah, it just armed me with something else. It was just something else in my arsenal to love the faith and really get into defending the faith as well. So I would say that was kind of my big moment when I was in high school, for sure.
You know, I was listening to the Terry and Jesse show. It was either yesterday or Thursday. And Jesse Romero was talking about John 6. And he's like, you know, ironically, people start the chapter and verse where people started walking away is John 666. I was like, oh, wow, that's like clicked, like, wow.
I think we might have listened to the same episode with him. That, and yeah, there's that's an interesting point, isn't it?
It is. So let's talk about your podcast for a moment. The Catholic Canuck Podcast. When did you first think of this idea?
You know, William, I think I thought of it probably about, I don't know, probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And like a lot of things, you know, I think the Holy Spirit inspires us to do things. And then you think, man, maybe this is too big for me. Maybe I can't do this. Like, this seems really daunting to me. I don't really feel like I have a great radio voice, or I even know enough about the faith in order to get up and just share it. Right. You know, as you look back, and I saw a quote from Mother Teresa. I think she was interviewed, and they asked her, like, all the good things you guys are doing, and how does it feel, you know, the missionaries of charity, you're doing a lot of good work. And her response was, you know, for all the work that we are doing, it's only a drop in an ocean of need. And I thought, oh, man, there was two things I thought of. One is that, you know, that it's a daunting task, you know, that all the work that they're doing, and what am I doing kind of, you know, in comparison, right? And then I thought throughout my life, not just because, you know, throughout your walk with the Lord, sure, there's times where you stumble, you fall into sin, and then you get back, you go to confession, you receive the Eucharist worthily again, you're back on that straight and narrow. But think of the sins of omission that I was thinking about throughout my life. And it was a couple of years ago, there was two things that came to my mind, William, on that point, is that I thought of all the times I was with my friends and I never shared my faith, or I didn't keep them from stumbling into an occasion of sin, or even just a sin itself. And that was really, really something to me. And then the other thing, there was a time where there's not a lot of occasions, but there's a handful of occasions where I remembered specifically that I didn't go to Mass, not Sunday mornings. I didn't miss my obligation, but there were times I could have gone to an evening Mass. I was in the area, or I was traveling on the road for work, and I knew that there was Mass across from my hotel, and I chose to sleep in, or I chose to do something else. And I don't know, it was like 5 or 6 occasions, William, like that. And it really struck me here. And in the last year, especially now, and because of this virus craziness, a lot of people just don't have access to the sacraments. I've been hearing more stories about that. Yeah. That also touched my heart too, that it really taken for granted the Eucharist and the relationship with the Lord. So I thought, you know what, maybe it's time for me to do a little bit more and take that step in faith and learn a little bit about podcasting and maybe like we all, I think we all have these moments where, you know, I really don't feel like I'm qualified to do this, but I'm hoping that whatever I lack in knowledge of theology and philosophy, whatever, when it comes to the teachings of the church, that I can make up for my zeal for sharing the gospel with other people. Because I do have that. I do have this burning desire to share my faith with others. Because so many people have done that for me.
Okay. So what was the process like? So you go through this and you said, okay, Holy Spirit's telling you to do this podcast. What was the next step? What did you do to like learn, or did you start contacting people immediately? What was that like?
Well, thank goodness for YouTube videos, right? I mean, I'm not yeah. the most handy guy in the world either, and my wife always laughs at me, but I actually built a shed in our backyard, and I'm not a very handy guy. I think that's the intercession of St. Joseph, too, helping me out, because I did ask for his intercession as well, but St. Joseph gave me some inspiration. He also told me, just look on YouTube, too. There's some good videos there. And the same thing with podcasting. You know, I think there's some really good stuff, and not necessarily from Catholics or Christians, that you can look at online just to get me started and just to see what it was like. Cause yeah, it's not as easy as people think it is. If you want to do a good job, and I always want to do a good job, I mean, you got to have the right equipment, and you've got to, definitely have the right equipment, but you also have to have the time, make the time. And you also have to pray. You know, I find that we're not having an NFL style podcast here, William, right? Or sports, or something else. This is spiritual stuff that we're talking about, and we're talking about the faith, and we need to make sure that we're in a state of grace. We're walking with the Lord so that we can share something with other people. And there's kind of that three steps, I guess, along the way, is going on, just finding out what it's like to be podcasting, getting the right equipment, making that time. So just choosing is to say, okay, I'm going to get up early in the mornings. I'm going to do things on the weekends, because we have family obligations too. Right.
Right.
And, just making sure that we're walking with the Lord, and, making sure it's about Jesus. Cause that's why you're doing what you're doing. That's why I do what I do. So.
Great. So how often, your early episodes, tell us about those. What were those growing pains, if you had any?
You know what? Just a lot of how do you record stuff properly, make it sound good? You know, editing. I think you can just kind of throw a track down, right? It's like an artsy singing or something like that. But then the editing process to actually make it look or sound good, it was a big step for sure. When it comes to interviewing people, I always wanted to do kind of a combination of the two, because obviously I'm no theologian. You know, I don't have any kind of degrees or anything like that, but you know, getting guys like you on, William, is outstanding. And we had a lot of other really good guests, and we want them to not only share, you know, maybe things about the faith itself for sure out of the catechism. If you have a love for the catechism or for scripture and for living a sacramental life, I'd love to hear from you. I love having you on. Right. But there's also the lives of the saints that are so great. And I've picked up on some that I particularly like. St. John Bosco is someone that I always ask for his intercession before I go to confession. As we know, he could read souls, which is a beautiful gift that God gave him. St. Charles Borromeo is another example of something that's relevant now. We did a little podcast on him and the plague that he went through, a real plague that we did about a month and a half ago now. And those little things, just to share lives of the saints, because they're the ultimate examples for us. I like to call them the church's superstars. There are superstars that we can look up to. They're in heaven. They're praying for us. And I want to make sure that we give them some time as well. So,
speaking of superstars, you had Alan Smith on. We both had him on our show, and he's like a wealth of knowledge about Bishop Fulton Sheen. Absolutely amazing. I love that episode, by the way.
He's a real gift, Alan Smith. He spent so much time to help with the cause of Archbishop Sheen as well. And that the fact that he's from North America, he's from the United States, I think it's outstanding. Archbishop Sheen and Alan Smith, he's a Canadian just like me. So it's a great connection between our two countries and sharing that message for sure. Yeah.
Then you also recently had our mutual friend, John Kramer, the Lego Church Project guy. It's funny. He's like so humble about it, but it's amazing what he does.
It truly is, right? And even just there's two parts, and I know you've talked about that in your interviews with him as well. As the Lego is great, it's cool, but a lot of people don't know that John has mobility issues, right? He can't just simply jump into a car and go to mass or go to church and go. You know, it's a bit of a tangle for him to get around, and but his love for the sacraments and going to mass and being that example, that was actually my favorite part of our conversation. Just his faith was outstanding. Yeah, absolutely. It's so cool to just share that with other people, right, William, with our
Absolutely. Our
listeners. And, you know, there's Catholics like that out there. And I think I always say this too, the devil tries to isolate us, right? He tries to make us feel like we're by ourselves in our journey. But the church is so big. It's so much bigger than just in our community or in our parish. And that's really important that we're active in our parish. But the church is huge, and there's so many great stories, and it's cool to just share them with our listeners and with other people.
Now, over the course of this pandemic, has that been helpful for you as far as interviewing people and getting that connection?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we've been really blessed in Alberta. Outside of maybe a month or two, William, we've actually had public masses in our churches at reduced capacity, but we still have them. And but there are a lot of people that aren't going to mass right now, that aren't going to church. And even though the people that do go to mass, I do think that there is that feeling of isolation, right? You know, some of us go to mass on Sundays, but maybe your regular Knights of Columbus meeting or youth meetings you know, other family things, those are not on at all right now.
Right.
So I think that I know for myself, I've been listening to a lot more Catholic content and podcasts, and it's really helped me. And even just getting guests to come on, it's been a little bit easier because people are, you know, they're kind of in the same boat, right? They're not necessarily as active and going out as they used to be, right? Things are changing a little bit right now, but I think it is important that that we reach out to folks that are maybe feeling isolated or are isolated. Sometimes they're doing that to themselves too. I hate to say it, but you know, it's just like any kind of habit, right, William? You know, boy, to start a bad habit doesn't take very long. Good habits take a lot longer.
Right.
You start to not go to mass, to not attend these meetings, to have that community, that church community. I think most of the world's been going through this for a year. And now it's getting pretty evident to me that we're going to have a lot of work to do when things get back to somewhat normal in this church to bring people back.
Right. It's going to be a lot of bad habit breaking for sure.
Yeah.
So what feedback have you received from your podcast so far?
You know what? Really good. It's, you know, the one thing that's interesting, my podcast, I guess, is aimed towards men and fathers, because I'm one myself and I find I could relate. And if I usually talk from that perspective, right. But it's, I'm surprised. I'd say actually more women listen to my podcast. And I think that, there are some statistics that suggest that more women listen to podcasts than men anyways, but it is interesting to see how many ladies listen, and I'm very, very appreciative of that. And, sometimes I've gone back to maybe I need to have more women on the podcast as guests. I don't know. But then I've had women come and say, hey, we like to hear from Catholic men, from Christian men that love the Lord, and they tell their stories, and that inspires us too. So that's pretty cool. Right. And I really appreciate that feedback, but, no, it's been really good. And in Canada, William, honestly, I mean, we've got, you know, a handful of really good Catholic, you know, people in social media. A lot of people that might know Father Mark Goring. He's really outstanding. He's out of Ottawa. And there's others as well that do things on YouTube and have some podcasts. But I mean, boy, there's actually more Catholics. The percentage of population of Catholics in Canada is actually a lot higher than even the United States. But I would say that even fewer people in Canada attend Mass and are really living out their Catholic faith, right? So, and it goes back to just wanting to do a little bit more in the church to try to bring people back. And I think that having these kind of podcasts, these conversations, William, between gentlemen like us that love the Lord and love our families, we need a lot more of that, because the ocean of need is certainly, it's huge. It really is huge.
Definitely is. So where can people check out your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. It's called the Catholic Connect Podcast. We're on all major podcast platforms, from Apple to Spotify, Google, and we're on Facebook and Twitter as well. And so, yeah, give us a follow and a like there, and any kind of interaction, send me a note anytime. I love hearing from listeners, and feedback's always appreciated, and prayers are appreciated even more so.
And I want to end the show on a dumb question here. But for those that maybe don't know, what is a Canuck?
Well, you know, when I named it, it's not the Vancouver Canucks, like some people say. That's a hockey team up
right,
here.
Right, exactly.
But a Canuck, you know what, it's just, it's basically a slang term for a Canadian. And, and some people say, are you the Catholic Canuck? I'm like, well, no, not really. It's just more of a catchy thing, right? The Catholic Canuck, it's something people can remember. So, if you think if there's any slang or nicknames for Americans, that's a Canadian is a Canuck. So that's okay. Why I called the podcast that. Yeah.
Well, very good. Everyone, check out the Catholic Canuck podcast. Subscribe. You'll be blessed by it. David's doing great work over there. David, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, William, man, thanks for everything you're doing too in the vineyard of the Lord. And look forward to catching up with you soon, man. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Hallow, the number one Catholic app. Hallow has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallow meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallow.com/breadbox.